This is the Bird Hugger Podcast with Katherine Greenleaf, the podcast for people who love birds.
Welcome to the Bird Hugger Podcast. I'm Katherine Greenleaf, and I'm so glad to be with you. I'm on board for a full 30 minutes of talking all things birds and restoring native habitat.
What happens when a burnt-out college professor living in New England decides to become a wildlife rescuer and rehabilitator? Find out on Bird Hugger, the podcast for people who love birds. Join host Katherine Greenleaf, who has been rehabilitating injured wildlife for 20 years, and hear how you can turn your backyard into a native oasis for birds.
Hello there, everybody. Spring has finally sprung, and I hope you're all enjoying seeing the birds return and take up residence in your backyard for the summer. I hope you're also enjoying being back in your native gardens. Today's guest is here to talk to us about how he survived the Marshall Fire in December of 2021, the most destructive wildfire the state of Colorado has ever experienced. Allegedly caused by a sparking power line, high winds carried the sparks in all directions, forcing thousands of people to flee from their homes. The Marshall Fire is now the state's most documented disaster. Dave Crawford has been on the show with us before to talk about his wonderful app, Animal Help Now, which is designed to give people who find injured wildlife immediate access to the rehabilitators available to help the animal. But then his house was destroyed by the Marshall Fire. In response to his loss and the loss shared by his neighbors, he set to work on yet another app, this one designed to help people rescue their pets in the event of a disaster, just like the Marshall Fire. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you are enjoying this show and like what we do, please help us out by subscribing or following us on your favorite app to access our free show. That way you'll get notified of what's coming, you'll never miss a show, and it will help us in the ratings. And now I'd like to welcome Dave Crawford to the show. Dave, so great to have you back here. How have you been?
Thank you, Katherine. I am pleased and honored to be with you today. I have been busy. It's been 2 years since I lost my home in the Marshall Fire, and I've just finished rebuilding. And at the same time, over the past 2 years, we've created a new app that its genesis was in the Marshall Fire when we learned and we saw with our own eyes that we can do a better job of saving our pets, our animal companions, when disaster strikes. So we've worked on that for the past 2 years too. The team here at Animal Help Now, it's been a busy 2 years. I'm looking forward to taking a break here as soon as I can do so.
That is pretty incredible. Just for our listeners' sake, could you tell them the story? Now, you live in Colorado and you were caught in the Marshall Fire in December of 2021. Can you just tell us what you experienced?
Sure. I was up that morning and I had smelled smoke in the air, but it was a while before I looked out of my front door and I saw about maybe a quarter mile to the north of me, just a black, dense smoke running horizontal right along the ground fast. I got put my shoes on, went up, tried to figure out what the source of the smoke was, walked to the end of the block. The wind was howling that morning. And I couldn't tell what it was. As I was walking back, there was a garbage can kind of being tossed down the street. And I went and grabbed it, threw it into the fenced yard of a neighbor and noticed a little girl looking out the front window. And when I got back to my home, my neighbor across the street told me that they're evacuating, that there was a fire, that it was engulfing the neighborhood just to the west of us, Sagamore. And so I grabbed my cats and a couple of things and got in my car and stopped by that house where I'd seen the little girl to make sure that they knew that we were evacuating, got their attention. And then while I was out, I knocked on a few doors of neighbors to make sure that they knew we were evacuating. At one of the doors, I heard a bark and I knew that that was Chief, but the owner of the home did not come to the door. So I knew Chief was imperiled, and I tried for a while and finally succeeded in reaching the homeowner, and he said that he had somebody on their way over. I was pretty sure that wasn't going to work. I talked to my friend Mike, who had told me about the evacuation across the street, and Mike said that he'd be glad to grab Chief, because he already had a dog in his car, his dog. I said, great, if that comes to it, then let's do that. And it did come to it. Hadn't heard from the homeowner. So Mike, when push came to shove, we were in the 11th hour. Mike kicked in the door and he went in. Chief was in a crate, juvenile German Shepherd. He let Chief out of the crate. Chief ran around, ended up on a leash, and Mike evacuated him to safety. That was the good outcome. Of course, I had my own good outcome, getting my two elderly cats into a carrier and evacuating. The bad outcome was that on that same drive around one square block, I went by one house where there was a cockatiel. I went by another house where there was a turtle and a tortoise, a third house where there were two dogs and a cat, fourth where there was a cat, and a fifth where there was a cat. And all of those animals were waiting for help that never came. I didn't know they needed help, and they perished in the fire. And there were 1,000 animals lost that day, 1,000 animal companions. And those are, you know, just the ones that we know about. There's that, and it's an estimate. And I don't know if that includes, you know, fishes, and I don't know if it includes backyard chickens, that sort of thing. So it was obvious to me coming out of that, that we could do a much better job of evacuating pets when disasters strike. People think they can get back into a neighborhood and grab their animals. You can be five blocks away and not have a chance to get back in because, you know, during evacuation, all traffic is going the other direction. We realized that, you know, neighbors are our best chance of evacuating our pets, our animal companions, when disasters threaten and strike. So we developed this app that is a neighbors-based messaging app that is dedicated exclusively to rescuing our animal companions when disasters threaten and strike.
Well, I have to say, it sounds like every pet owner's waking nightmare. You had zero warning. You were told to evacuate immediately. You had pets you had to get in the car. And a lot of your neighbors were at work at the time, as I understand it. And as you said, they couldn't leave work to get back to their homes where their pets were waiting to be evacuated. And that resulted in quite a number of losses. So tell me, how many homes were destroyed and how much acreage in that single fire?
There were 1,000 structures, almost all of them homes, destroyed in that fire. In terms of acreage, boy, I just have to guess on that. A couple of square miles, maybe three. That's a guess. But the CU, the University of Colorado, is just up the road here. And Dr. Leslie Irvine, she studies animal welfare during disasters. In fact, she wrote a book called Filling the Ark on that very issue. She and some colleagues studied the in the aftermath. They studied to try to determine how many animals were lost that day. And her estimate, their best estimate, was 1,000. The homes in my neighborhood, they're about 50% rebuilt. I know of at least two neighbors who will not rebuild. They cannot rebuild. It's because of the sadness and the tragedy of the memories of that day. They are selling their land. There aren't memorials. They aren't mourning over their laptops. They're getting over their lost family heirlooms. The thing that strikes at the heart and is going to be with people for the rest of their lives would be that they lost their animal companions. And I can only hope that they are able to reconcile that with, you know, knowing that they provided good homes while those animals were alive. It's just a terrible, terrible tragedy. And we don't want to see it happen again. So we started working on this app a week after the fire. It took us 2 years to launch the iPhone version, and we're just about out with the Android version. But it includes all the things that you would expect. It's not just a simple texting app. It includes photographs of your animals, where their hiding places are, where their meds are, how to get into your home. We keep that on your own device. That never leaves your device until, you know, you choose to share it if there's an emergency. But your contacts in your neighborhood, you set up a profile for yourself. Tell us, you know, give us your photograph, tell us, give us your address, so we know, so your neighbors know exactly who it is who's contacted. And then you set up profiles for your animal companions. And if you don't have animal companions, you can still use the app. You're just going to be a rescuer. You're not going to be a person who needs rescue. And speaking of which, we also ask you, you know, if you're elderly or infirm or otherwise able and you can't rescue others' animals, we give you the option to make that very clear in the app. You know, I cannot help. Those are the people who would just be on there to have their own pets rescued. And then when the emergency happens, you know, it's just a couple of taps on your app and you've sent out the alert and your trusted contacts, which whom you've established in advance. I didn't get to that point, I guess. So you'd set up your user profile, you set up profiles for your pets, and then you make a couple of contacts. This is going to be a community building app as well, because we're going to want to meet our neighbors, because we're going to want our animals to be safe when we're not around. And this is not just a wildfire issue. It's for any kind of disaster. And they're all over the place, including, you know, train derailment like happened in Palestine. It includes apartment fires. So this is going to get us to get to know our neighbors a little better, to trust them with our animals' lives. And so when disaster strikes, you simply, you know, press the emergency button and you ask for help. We've set this up, giving you options of which pets to include when you send out an alert. One of my neighbors who lost a cat, his dog was with him. When he goes and sends an alert out, if he had sent an alert out, he would have unselected his dog as someone who needs help. Just his cat needed help, because you don't want people in there looking for an animal who isn't home. We've consulted with a lot of experts, a lot of disaster preparedness professionals, and we feel like we've got a very good start here. We have a lot we still want to do with the app in the near future, and we're working on those things, but we feel like we're off to a good start.
Well, I have to say, I think it's marvelous that out of all of that tragedy and all of that loss, you turned it around and created this app that can save the lives of pets and decrease the amount of trauma that your average person would suffer if they were forced to leave their pets at home and have to drive away from the neighborhood. And you're creating these neighborhood bonds between people. Yes. So,
yes, we definitely want people to be prepared so that when they, if they are home, they've got to go back, they can get their animals out. In my case, I've just adopted a feral cat, trapped him off the street in Denver during my temporary time down there. And in my case, I've asked my one neighbor nearby who's rebuilt, he and I are connected on the app. And I said, just come over and open all the doors, because that's all he can do, because I can't even get, not yet anyway, get close to June, my recently adopted feral. So it's really about preparation. But yeah, you know, Catherine, there was really no other way to move forward from this. When you see such a huge gap in services, as we experienced firsthand, and we have the technology, you know, we have the expertise with phone apps, and we have certainly the passion to help animals. So it was a very good fit for us. It's just, for me, it's always a little confounding that, just the same with Animal Help Now, that the ones to produce it, you know, it's a big world. There are hundreds of millions of people in this country. A lot of them are really tech savvy, a lot more than I am. Not necessarily my teammates, but it's odd that we had to create this app. I'm sorry we did. If it had been created earlier, there would have been more lives saved in the Marshall Fire.
Well, I'll tell you, its time has come. You know, there have been so many disasters where the toll of pets was never even mentioned in the media. It really wasn't until Hurricane Katrina that we started seeing these single shots by photographers from newspapers of, you know, a lost dog or a lost cat amid all the rubble. And of course, there was a furor that these photojournalists took these photos and then walked away and left the dogs and cats there, didn't even try to rescue them. I guess they were trying to maintain journalistic integrity by not disturbing the scene. But there were some really heartless things that can go on during disasters. And then for decades, airline disasters, anytime an airplane crashed, you never heard about the animals in the cargo hold. They weren't even mentioned. They weren't even parentheses after the human tragedy. And for the first time ever, last year, a plane crash mentioned the animals in the cargo hold that were lost. So the tide is turning, And people are starting to pay more attention to the tragedies involving animals, especially pets.
Absolutely. Yeah. The real outrage with Katrina was that the government, I think it was FEMA, was not allowing people to take their animals with them in many cases. We saw that change in 2000, I think it was 13 out here in Colorado, where people were being evacuated during a flood and they were allowed to take their animals. There was an actual change in government funding, I think. You have to have a municipality or a state, maybe it's a state, has to have a plan in place for evacuating animals at this point in time. Otherwise, you are severely restricted in the amount of funding that you can receive in federal assistance. It's been a sea change, Catherine. You're absolutely right about that.
Right. So tell our listeners now, it's FHAR, P-H-A-R, Pet Help and Rescue. How can they download this?
You know, if you go to the iPhone, the App Store, and you search for Pet Help and Rescue, it'll show up right there at the top. And with Android, we'll be, if you're listening to this and it's the Android app is not yet in the Play Store, you can shoot me an email at davidc@ahnow.org and we'll get you set up with the beta version if you're curious. You can also go to phar.org and see the links there and also get updates, and you can sign up for the mailing list, et cetera, there. I want to point out one thing. You know, we're still in the very, very early stages of this app. We realized yesterday that depending on your settings on your iPhone, the notice that you receive that somebody's asking for help might disappear before you see it. So we're asking our users at this point in time, until we can address it from our side with our next release, we're asking our users to go into their settings and change their banner display. I think that's not quite the right term, but it's something like that, banner display, to change that setting to from temporary to persistent. Because then when they do next look at their phone, that notification that someone needs help will still be there. We're also encouraging people to move their FHAR app onto their home screen so that if they completely miss a notification somehow and they open their phone, they can see that the app is badged, meaning it's got the little red dot on it, meaning it needs their attention. So we're also very curious about hearing about people's experiences. So they can use that same email. I'm like the most accessible executive director in the country. Please, you know, email me at davidc@ahnow, that's Animal Help Now, ahnow.org. I'll get back to you, but I really want to hear from your listeners, Catherine.
So tell us now, are you settled again? Did you rebuild in the same spot?
I did rebuild, and I moved in back in on the 17th of last month. I'm still getting settled. I had to find a checkbook yesterday. One of the really cool things that Animal Help Now is doing with, in conjunction with a Kinder World Foundation, and it's not unrelated to the discussion we've had on Pet Help and Rescue, the Kinder World Foundation is providing us with funds to distribute to wildlife rehabilitators. These are both wildlife rehabilitation centers and at home, home-based wildlife rehabilitators. The Kinder World Foundation gives us $15,000 a year for us to distribute to these operations when they are impacted by disasters. So, you know, it's happening in California right now. It's happening in Texas. And we make, because we know more about who's rehabilitating wildlife in this country than anyone else, we can quickly get in touch with them if we believe that they're in the path of a disaster or they're in the aftermath. And we can offer them funds that we can give them, we can provide them that same day if they give us like their PayPal account, et cetera. Anyway, got a request from a San Francisco-based wildlife rehabilitation center a couple days ago, and they don't have PayPal, so they wanted us to send them a check. And I realized just how unsettled I am when I went to try to find the organization's check. I don't know if I mentioned or not, but my home was also the de facto headquarters of Animal Help Now. Everybody works in a distributed environment here. And so the organization itself was heavily impacted by the fire. We lost basically all of our paperwork and files and merchandise and whatnot. So that was something we're still recovering from as well. But it's happening. I think we're about 85% of the way to be back on our feet.
Right. And Animal Help Now is still functioning, still going strong.
Very much so. Yes. The Pet Help and Rescue app is actually under the Animal Help Now organization. And Animal Help Now had another record year last year in terms of the app exists to help people who encounter wildlife in need connect with the nearest wildlife helpers, who are generally wildlife rehabilitators, but they can be wildlife hotlines. They can be vets who accept wildlife, and they can be agencies of different sorts. I think we served 125 or 130,000 accesses to our wildlife emergency service last year, connecting people with these helpers. And then our wildlife conflict service, which offers humane approaches to unwanted wildlife or other wildlife issues, that increased again last year. It's way behind wildlife emergencies because we just started it about 5 years ago, but we still got a record number of hits on our wildlife conflict service, which is really heartening for us because we know that people tend to want to have their wildlife conflicts resolved humanely. And the industry is completely out of whack with that because 99.99% of animal control operations, wildlife control operations are not, they do not use humane methods. We're very pleased to be seeing our wildlife conflict service gain traction. You know, in terms of your readers, I think, or your listeners, you know, one thing we're really trying to get past is this idea that it's humane to relocate wildlife. You know, take a raccoon from out of the attic and put that raccoon in a park or a riverside a mile away. That's basically a death sentence. Animals, it's not trap and relocate. The humane approach is to evict and exclude. So get them, just get them out of the space where you don't want them and let them stay in the environment that they know, where the water and food sources that they know. In case of raccoons, they'll have other nests they can go to. And so the operations that we list abide by that humane standard. They, in fact, abide by a wealth of other standards put forth by the British Columbia SPCA. So if you want to resolve a wildlife conflict humanely, go to animalhelpnow.org and click on our wildlife conflict service.
Right. So Animal Help Now, just to remind our listeners, is a fantastic app. Let's say you're driving to work in the morning and you see a bird's been hit by a car. It's lying by the side of the road, but it's still alive. You pull out your cell phone, you go to animalhelpnow.org. You punch in the contact for the nearest wildlife rehabilitator. You give them the location of the injured animal so that animal can get the help that it needs. It's very efficient and very fast and really gets rid of a lot of the frustration and confusion that people often experience when they find injured wildlife and they don't know what to do and they don't know who to call. So they're calling the police, they're calling the fire department, they're calling the town hall and getting nowhere. Whereas Animal Help Now takes you, zips you right to the people who can act immediately to help that animal and rehabilitate it and get it back into the wild. It's really marvelous.
Thank you, Catherine. That's a great summary. I would only add that I can hear a couple of wildlife rehabilitators saying, wait, the one thing that still kind of falls on, we call them finders, those kind-hearted people who are willing to stop and help the animal, it's still pretty much incumbent upon them to get that animal to the facility. There are some rescues in the country that come out to the site, and occasionally a wildlife rehabilitator will have the time, the luxury of time, but most often they do not. So what we hope happens is the person contacts a wildlife expert and then is told how to get that animal to care. And in some cases, told to leave that animal alone. Birds on the ground get rescued all the time. Does or fawns get rescued all the time who mom simply away. So they also help determine whether an animal actually needs assistance or not. And when you talk about motor vehicle strikes and your users, your listeners are in their minds, they're thinking about, you know, when they've seen animals hurt. Bird window strikes account for 1 billion bird deaths in the United States alone every year. That's an estimate, but it's a scientific estimate that's been peer reviewed. Cat and dog attacks are more than twice that. So the number of animals who suffer these fates. There are a lot who were injured who can be helped. And of course, motor vehicle accidents are huge as well. So all of these things are appropriate for, well, A, we need to mitigate those threats to the extent possible. But B, if we find someone who's injured by them, then we're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to get help.
And the great thing is the app is free. And so is the Pet Help and Rescue app.
Yes, it is. Although my advisors are telling me that we should be charging for the Pet Help and Rescue app. It costs us $100,000, over $100,000 to produce that. And, you know, our budget is always thin, never more than $150,000 without that app. So we were able to produce it because we had a donor, a friend, Adrienne Laurentos. She passed away at way too young, left us with a nice bequest, and we were able to use that funding to create the app. But we want to keep it free, and it's going to cost us money. So we are a thin organization. Nobody here makes six figures. There's only like three paid people, two FTEs on our staff. So we really need people to support us as a nonprofit as well with financial donations.
And as we wrap up here, that was going to be my next question. How can people help you? Where can they send donations?
They can find us online and they can donate online either at phar.org, phar.org, or ahnow.org. And you can donate that way. We also put a lot of volunteers to use. We're a volunteer-based organization. So we could really use some marketing assistance right now as we're trying to get the word out on our new app and marketing. And then we always can use tech assistance, social media assistance. And we have a lot of volunteer opportunities in those ways. And again, they can just contact me directly. You can tell me about your skill set, your interests, and we'll try to match you up to our best ability. Catherine, thank you so much for asking that question. We really want to keep doing things. We have a lot more ideas. We have other apps in mind, and we're really only limited by our resources.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic set of programs you've got there. And the more people find out about it and get to use it, the better. And I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I'm sorry you had to go through that horrible fire and, you know, watch your neighbors lose their pets. But I'm so happy to hear it. You've got your home, you're back in your place. And not only that, but you're helping everyone with these apps. So it's just nothing short of a miracle. It really is.
Thank you, Catherine. We're doing our best here. Got a great team.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And hopefully we can have you on again for another update at some point.
Would love to. Thank you, Catherine.
I'd like to thank Dave Crawford for joining us today. To find out more about his new app, Pet Help and Rescue, go to phar.org. To find out more about Animal Help Now, go to ahnow.org.
Join Americans everywhere in the One Third for the Birds movement. Dedicate the back third of your yard to birds and other wildlife. Make this area a quiet zone with no leaf blowers or lawnmowers. Plant native trees and shrubs so birds have plenty of insects to eat. Create a safe haven for birds to nest and raise their young. You will be rewarded with many hours of bird watching fun. For more information on One Third for the Birds, go to the Bird Hugger page on Facebook.
And that's it for today's episode, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Have a great week and enjoy the birds. Bye for now.